Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Education Matters in the Upper Cumberland. My guest today is a good friend, Lillian Hartgrove, the chairman of the Tennessee State Board of Education and former vice president for workforce development and education at the Highlands Economic Partnership at the Chamber of Commerce. Lillian, it's so good to have you back on the show.
Thank you. It's good to be back on your show today.
And we've got a lot to talk about, a lot of neat stuff going on, but you've moved into retirement for at least part of your work life since we've last talked on the air, but you're still active in Education Matters for sure. So tell us about retirement.
Well, retirement is certainly going far better than I imagined that it would, and that's in spite of COVID-19. It does provide me with more time, certainly, to spend with my family while continuing to be active in education because of my responsibilities on the State Board of Education. But I'm also active in my church, and I have other activities that keep me very busy. So I am definitely enjoying retirement.
And I found that, too. You can still fill your day as much as you want to fill your day, can't you?
You certainly can, because, you know, we actually had some plans to do some traveling, but COVID had another idea for us, and mm-hmm. So I'm happy to say I'm enjoying home life. I didn't know that I would, but I definitely am.
I agree totally. But you're not sitting back in an easy chair for everything that you do.
No.
So you still have a very significant role in education across the entire state of Tennessee. So tell us about chairman of the State Board of Education.
Interesting. The answer to this one is really rather fascinating in some respects, because I had no idea when I was asked if I would be willing to serve on the state board for 5 years. The term is for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And before the end of my first term, I was asked if I would allow myself to be the vice chairman of the board because the person who was in that position stepped down. And then about a year later, the chairman of the board, who at that time had been on the state board for 24 years, decided it was time for him to retire. And so there was a lot of asking if I would be willing to serve in that capacity.
And I remember before that, when you were asked to be vice chair, that you said, now, don't worry, there's no way I'll ever take on the chairman's role.
Well, that's what I said. Do I have to be chairman? Because I think it's a position that when you're vice chairman, you should be in preparation mode to be the chairman. And I only had a year with the chairman prior to his retirement. And so I did say yes. And now I'm in my third year serving as chairman of the board. I was just reappointed for a second term by Governor Lee that began this past February. So I have four and a half more years to serve as a board member. But the actual board members, the other eight board members, do elect the chairman of the board. So they may choose to select somebody else, because the chairmanship is a 2-year term, and they may elect to choose someone else.
Sure.
And I certainly have to consider, is it something that I want to do? My term as chairman is up in February. So we'll see how that goes. But the responsibilities of the chairman are far more extensive than what it is for certainly a regular board member. And certainly the most obvious one is overseeing the meetings, setting the tone for the meetings, as well as working very closely with the state board executive director and the staff, who coordinates a lot of our work with the Tennessee Department of Education. I chair several subcommittees for the state board, and we work very closely with the Commissioner of Education as we set the agenda for the coming meetings and things of that nature. But it's certainly a lot more. There's presentations that I do make periodically to the Tennessee Organization of School Superintendents, the Tennessee Association for Teaching Education, that's TACTE. Tennessee Tech is a member of that
yes.
organization. So that's the gist of it in a nutshell, but there's so much more to it, as you can imagine.
Yeah, it's a very active thing, and I've seen you doing homework prior to a meeting and just stacks and stacks of books to notebooks full of policy issues that you have to consider. Well, not just in normal education, but boy, is there a lot going on in education these days. Tell us about the state board's role in the context of the COVID pandemic.
Well, I'll tell you, and it's true for everyone, as you can imagine, and not that everything else that we do in a normal year was put aside. It certainly was not. All those things have to continue, but the pandemic caused everyone in education across the board, as you could imagine, especially having been the president of the university, you have to look at everything through a totally, completely different lens. And so you would think that the state board's first responsibility might have more to do with the health side of it and what the safety and health, that piece of it. But that's actually through the Tennessee Department of Education and the local health departments to work with the school districts to address those kinds of issues. So we truly are focused in the pandemic on anything and everything that we have to do to change policy or to write new emergency rules or new emergency policies. And some of those are legislated by the General Assembly, and some of them are automatically given to us in other statutes that already exist. But it really is about being as nimble as we possibly can in this world where there's no playbook. No one told us how to do this. And I'm talking about everyone that's in education. How do you function and make sure that you put students first always? It is about students. And it is about making sure that we have policies and rules in place that will get students on the proper trajectory and ensure that they are achieving and growing the way that they need to. And that's incumbent upon everybody that's in education. But if the policies and the rules are not right, if we blow it, if we get it wrong, then right. That has a negative ripple effect all the way down to the student in the classroom. So we've written several emergency rules. They've already been approved. There were some that we had to do when the pandemic first hit and the schools had to shut down, and schools were out from March until yes. The end of the year. And so there were certain policies that had to be suspended. And so new rules were written so that school districts would know, I will not be held accountable for testing or the results from testing or attendance and things that just were not possible.
Yeah, those were just big issues you couldn't possibly accomplish the yes. way you normally would.
Right. There were big issues. And then with the realization that the pandemic is not quickly leaving us, then we need to think about what should we as a state board put into policy and rule that would ensure if schools have to shut down again, that we're not losing more time, that we're not going to close the school and instruction stops. So this time we did write a continuous learning plan, policy and rule that would require school districts to document how they are planning to continue to provide instruction for students remotely or however they find a way to do that by sending packages of materials to students at home. But they still have to have a way of interacting with students. And that's strictly if we have to go completely remotely.
And we'll talk more about that in just a second.
Sure.
This is Local Matters, and we are talking to Lillian Hartgrove, the chairperson of the State Board of Education. And we're talking about some big what-ifs. What would we do if this particular thing happens? So what are the big what-ifs that you've been talking about? Discontinuation of school is one of them, or continuation in a different form is probably
continuing in a different form. Certainly the other challenges that we often can lose sleep over, and that's not just the state board. That's everyone, is that how do you have that continuous learning plan implemented for all students? So it is about equitable access for every child who, for a variety of reasons, they do not have access to a device or access to the internet, or their parents are not equipped to help them and things of that nature. And so that, you know, there's so much that's put upon the school districts because they're the ones that are in the field interacting with parents. But the state has a responsibility to certainly provide the funding that would allow for the infrastructure to be here to make sure that families do have access. The other piece is what we can do as a state to provide the funding to ensure that there are devices in the home, and sometimes there's a device, but it's a cell phone, or there's one laptop, and mother or father are working from home, and they need that device to do their own work. So those are the kinds of things that are not necessarily in our purview, but we certainly are engaged in that conversation.
They're real world issues that we see in Tennessee.
The other thing is, in the online world today, you have districts who are finding their own instructional materials to be able to teach in that virtual world. And so we at the State Board are in deep discussions with regard to how can we drive the narrative that says let's look at online platforms that every system can have access to, and that the state can provide the funding so that those purchases can be made. And I was hoping that we would have already done that with CARES Act money, but there just wasn't enough money to do that. So those types of opportunities, as well as the instructional materials that will align with Tennessee state standards. So those are some of them.
Yeah, a lot of big issues. You mentioned access to devices and access to technology. Certainly rural communities and rural county school systems have seen some challenges in both access to the internet as well as access to the devices, but so do some inner city areas too. So it's not just limited to rural counties, but here in the Upper Cumberland, we've got a number of counties that are challenged with children that don't have the access that they need. What do you see in the future for that? Is there going to be more money coming? And I know you can't speak for the state legislature or the governor, but do you expect that more things will come our way to help that problem?
Well, I can tell you, because I do chair the Basic Education Program Committee, which is a committee of the State Board of Education, we conduct a survey every year of the members of that committee to determine what are the top priorities. And always teacher compensation is always at the top of the list. And this year, technology was added again, but at a higher priority level, because the technology is definitely needed. And it's not just to give a little bit of money this year. It's an ongoing continuous opportunity for us as a state. So we did put that as one of our priorities. And I wrote a letter to the governor, the commissioner of education, and the commissioner of finance and administration with the top, we usually have top five, but this year we have top six high priorities. And the number one was to hold schools harmless for any negative effects of COVID-19, specifically as it relates to a drop in the average daily membership in the schools, because there are some parents, as you may know, who have opted to put their children in other schools.
Sure.
Or
yes.
In homeschooling. So numbers have dropped. So we do not want the districts to be negatively affected and have money taken away from them because of those drops.
Things like that are really important, and they're things that you don't think much about. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk a bit more about the COVID environment and about teacher challenges and some of the policies that are going to change. This is Local Matters, and we are talking to Lillian Hartgrove, the chairperson of the Tennessee State Board of Education. We will be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too, and unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Well, welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Lillian Hartgrove, the chairman or chair of the Tennessee State Board of Education. And we are talking about this unprecedented and historic time that educators are going through right now, and some of the things that are changing at the state level. Lillian, let's talk for a minute about the challenges that that teachers face. Teachers are going through a big change right now too,
and they are.
They have a job that in some cases they weren't trained for or didn't sign up for, in terms of being able to use this new emerging technology. So we've got great teachers in many places, and certainly here in the Upper Cumberland, there are some outstanding teachers. But the challenges to the teachers are significant, too. Do they come to you or to the state board?
The teachers do not come directly to us in normal circumstances. I do interact with teachers as much as I possibly can, and I am hearing from them the challenges that they are facing. I think, you know, one of the biggest challenges that I witnessed is this complete scrambling to get everything figured out prior to opening school. And I think that because, as I said earlier, there wasn't a playbook and no one knew exactly how to do this, the school districts have been given the authority to make many of the decisions directly within their own local school board. So there's certain things that are at the state level, but there are certainly things that the state could not decide for the districts,
sure.
Although some of them may have liked us, not us per se, but the governor, to make a decision about when schools should start or how schools would operate, how they would function, what it would look like from a safety perspective. And I know that there was a lot of emphasis on that. You have to first feel that you can return safely. And that was a big part of it for the directors of schools from conversations I've had with them. So how do you keep the teachers safe? How do you keep the students safe? And what happens if a case flares up? So there was a lot of initial attention to that. But when it comes to the preparation of the teachers, because there was such a short window,
yes,
to get them ready, and the Department of Education, because this is in their wheelhouse, where the department finds the different tools to provide that professional development for teachers. And so the department offered and actually formed a partnership with Trevecca University to offer training specifically for how to teach in an online environment. And I'm not sure that every teacher had an opportunity to take advantage of that. In particular, there are some districts that are teaching in person.
Sure.
And some are doing the hybrid. And as you know, your granddaughter and my grandson have been in the same class together for a number of years. It's my understanding that Sarah has been doing this from
remotely, yes.
And Joshua is actually in the classroom. And so that's a hybrid model where some of the students can be in person and some,
right,
can be online. And now I understand there will be some teachers who will be completely dedicated,
correct,
to online teaching, while some are strictly dedicated to the in-class. And so they tried it doing both, but I understand it's not always been highly effective, and you can understand.
I think it's a challenge.
Yeah,
it would be a challenge to any teacher to keep a remote group of students engaged in the same way that the students in the classroom are.
Exactly.
And yet I would quickly say I have virtually sat in the background, not on the camera, and not speaking in the case of both of my grandkids. And it is amazing. There are significant differences, partly because one's in a much younger age group than the other. But it is amazing how well some of the teachers have engaged the remote learners. And they'll ask a question of somebody in the classroom and then say, now, Sarah, what do you think about that? Or George, what do you think? So I think the teachers are doing a remarkable job under combat circumstances.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I wish that there was something that we could do to make it, I don't want to say, because it's not easy. Teaching is not easy.
No,
in a normal
situation,
normal environment. And they knew what they signed up for just in the general sense of it. But in a world of COVID, totally and completely different that no one, no teacher would have ever expected this to be to happen to them. And so, you know, I hope that continuing and going forward, that there will be better tools given to them and put at their disposal, especially to help them in that instructional time, but also to where they feel safe. You know, there are teachers is a big issue. And some have retired maybe earlier than they had intended because of their concern for their own safety. And that's understandable completely. We might have done the same thing.
I fully understand that. And you and I are sitting here looking at masks as we speak.
And we're 6 feet apart.
And we're socially distant. That's correct. Well, going back to the state board and sort of what you anticipate this year, or in the near future, this year, next year, whatever. What are some of the big issues, some of them related to the pandemic, maybe some not, that you see coming before the board in the near future?
Excuse me. There are times I wish I had a crystal ball, but I can tell you that some of the things that we have been talking about with the commissioner has to do with the federal mandate regarding ESSA. And so that's Every Student Shall Succeed Act. I believe that's the terminology. I may be getting it wrong. There are certain things within that's federally mandated that we're not allowed to deviate from. However, there are certain aspects of it that can be modified with legislation. And so it's a dance between the federal government, the state, the General Assembly, and certainly working closely with the Department of Education, the Tennessee Department of Education, and also getting that input from the field, because that's one of the things that's critically important, not only to me as chairman, but as a board member and all the other board members. We want to have that input from the field, because to make a decision in a vacuum without considering the effect or the impact on the field or the districts would just be completely wrong. And so there are things related to assessments, testing, and accountability, all these different measures that are part of ESSA. And so there are things that we want to look at just from the lens of Tennessee and what can we affect that would be positive, not negative, not punitive, but certainly making sure that we're doing what's best for children. Because with COVID, as you know, and shutting down for the remainder of last year, we have no way of knowing where students lost ground.
We know they lost ground. Nationwide.
And they were not able to learn the things that they were supposed to. And you lose when you have that much downtime in between. And so districts are on their own to try to figure out where students are to move them forward and get them up to grade level. And so assessments are really viewed as a tool to find out where do we have an opportunity to serve students better. So it's not to be punitive. I know teachers view it that way. Sure. Educators can certainly do that. And I get that completely, having been a teacher once upon a time myself. But now more than ever, we would need to see where students are to determine what do we need to do differently, what do we need to do more, better, different, less, to move the needle in the right direction, especially for students who are often behind in the first place, students with disabilities, English language learners, and you know, you go on and on with the list. So things of that nature we certainly are looking at. And I said infrastructure and reimagining now more than ever, if we have to function in a virtual world, making sure that we're not missing out on an opportunity to have a better platform or better way for teachers to feel comfortable and to be ready and prepared to teach children in that environment. Because in Tennessee now we have 180 days of instructional time, 6.5 hours a day, 180 days. There are 365 days in a year, but it will be easy to say, well, the pandemic, it's rearing its ugly head. Now we need to shut down. But that could go on for how long, and how much of a detriment would it be to individual students and our economy if we're not preparing students to graduate and move on to the next level?
Absolutely. We know if they're not engaged, they are slipping backwards in learning, just like you would if you don't practice your tennis game or your baseball game. You lose skills if you're not swinging the bat.
Exactly.
Well, you are right at the heart of leadership in one of the most important boards in the state of Tennessee right now. And we are honored that you spent some time with us today. And we'll try to have you back a couple of more times this year to see how the school year is going from your perspective. This has been Local Matters. We've been talking about education matters with Lillian Hartgrove, the chairperson of the Tennessee State Board of Education. Lillian, it's a delight to have you with us and great seeing you again.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be here with you today.